us, my Lord, wonderful.
Wonderful.
Eyes have seen, ears have heard, is recorded in God's word. Is it Jesus, my Lord, wonderful?
Yes.
Is it He, wonderful,
wonderful,
wonderful? Is it Jesus, my Lord?
Really an adventure, a journey. Again, we invite you today, if you'd be here apart from Jesus, to rejoin his journey or to join it for the first time and experience. Come and find out what is here, again, that he's offered to you. But anyway, I greet you in Jesus' name. Let's stand this morning, and we're going to sing and bring him glory. Number 576, or it's on the screen for you this morning. The Lord's our Savior, but he's also our shepherd, and he's the one who gently guides us and leads us in a walk with him. Savior, like a shepherd, leads us. Excuse me. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for that we just sang this morning. Lord, the fact that you're a Savior who leads us like a gentle shepherd, and that your love is never ending. You've loved mankind all the way through, and that love will never cease to be. We thank you that you are the example of perfect love, and the fact that you sacrificed yourself, Lord, for those that were unworthy, that should have been put to death eternally. But you gave us eternal life. You're the good shepherd, and the good shepherd knows his sheep. Thank you today, Lord. Thank you that you have your gentle lambs here today gathered together. Lord, help us to remember you today. But Lord, also, as we thank you and praise you, we also want to recognize that you're a God of righteousness. And we know this, Lord, that the warning is out there yet today of grace for people to come to you. But we also know, Lord, that there is judgment awaiting at some point when you see fit, Lord, for those that reject you. Now, Lord, may that not be the case with anyone in this auditorium today, but Father, may it be a day, if there is one in that condition, that they would come to the shepherd and be brought into the sheepfold. Now, Lord, thank you for everyone that's come out today. We pray again for those that cannot be here for various reasons. And, Lord, as I think about that often, there are legitimate reasons people cannot come together. But many times, like it was in the days of Noah, after years and years of preaching and of your grace, the door to the ark was shut. You closed it, Lord, and then it was too late. May that not be the case for anyone here today. Now, Lord, again, we know there are people in our number that are critically ill. There are people that are struggling with the effects of the sin curse. Lord, there's grief, there's sorrow, there's all types of things that have entered into the hearts today. We know, Lord, there may be people that are rebelling against you today or discouraged, all types of things. Lord, we pray that you again would call them back to your presence. And now, Lord, as we think about those things too, we think of our community. And we just ask today again, Lord, that we would be a difference here in the Fruitland area, that we would be your lighthouse for the needy, for the lost on the rocks in this place you've placed us. Now, Lord, may we be pleasing today to you, and we're excited for what you have for us. And we just ask again, Lord, that you'd be in our midst and that this would be a great day as we gather. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please be seated.
You will notice we stand, brother and sister, around here. It's because we're a family, and these folks are so near. When one has a heartache, we all share the
proceed with a few announcements and things to call your attention to. Again, I'm enjoying my time with the family this morning. We're all family if we're born again in Jesus Christ. And this is the most important thing that we can be doing is gathering together with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Well, on the right-hand side of your bulletin and also on the screen are a few things that we need to be made aware of, both today and in the week to come, Lord willing. And I just want to encourage you to come and stay for our fellowship lunch that we'll have immediately after the morning service. I've already looked at the table. I have not scrutinized it closely, but I think there are things that will meet your needs there in abundance, okay? So even if you didn't plan to stay or you didn't bring anything, you're welcome to come and join in, have some lunch. And then immediately after, we'll have an early evening service at 1 p.m., and that will consist today of Bible baseball. And I want to let you know that back on the back table, there's a copy of the rules. Actually, there's one error in there. It's not by intent, but we are only going to be quizzed today for our Bible baseball out of 1 Corinthians, the book of 1 Corinthians, not 1 and 2 Corinthians. So we invite you to stay for that. It's very casual, and the very least there is that you'll come to understand how much potency and richness God's Word has in it as we're quizzed over that. And it's an open book test. How about that? And don't be afraid. No one's put on the spot. We work as teams, but it'll just help us a little bit. We can have some fun. And that'll be done at about 1:45. So that just gives you a little itinerary. Everything is on that sheet that will take place there. Also, for those of you that either come to midweek prayer meeting and Bible study or are seriously considering it, I'd like you to fill out a survey that's also on the back table to give us a little bit of update on what you think about Wednesday Bible study and prayer meeting. So I invite you to take a look at those two sheets on the back table. You see the kitchen team for this morning. I guess if you didn't know you were on it, it's probably a little late. But that's why we have pizza, right? Or chicken or things like that. No, I think there's plenty of food. Wilton Bible study this Thursday at 6 o'clock. That's in the Presbyterian Church basement. There is no longer a need for a vocalist on Memorial Day service. I'm thankful that that's been supplied. But come over to the cemetery on Memorial Day morning at 9 o'clock. And we, will have some participation in that at the Fruitland Cemetery, remembering again those who gave their lives for our nation. Another reminder, Pregnancy Resources Van is in town at the Y Mondays from 11 to 5. Women's Bible Study will be May 8th at 10 o'clock. You can see my thoughts for the week. Also, we thank the Wheeler family for allowing us to use this tent today. We're going to go on a little camping adventure, or consider that, and so that's why it's up here today is our youth message, children's message. Again, we know that children come in all ages. Is there anything else we need to announce today before we proceed further here? Okay, well, at this time then, we're going to take just a few moments to quiet our hearts. And again, we still are not passing plates. Our ushers are all on duty. I see them diligently there back at the door, but we're not yet passing the plate, but as God has led you to give back to Him today, that opportunity exists on the back table, and we're glad for that opportunity. Also, to remember to look into some scriptural criterias of giving, and we'll be looking at some messages about that. As you know, we don't thump on people about those things here. We just preach the Word, but God's a giver, and He wants us to become givers in that same mode. And you know, God gave to us generously, and if we go back into the Greek, it's translated English cheerfully, but it's really hilariously. God didn't give us junk, He gave us His best. So anyway, as you contemplate what to do before the Lord, isn't He a great God? He doesn't force us, He just wants us to get it right. But as we consider our giving, let's also consider our hearts now this morning and our little message that we have that revolves around getting alone with God. So let's pray. Father, thanks once again for your generosity to us in all ways. Lord, what a selfish bunch we are. What a self-focused and self-centered bunch we are, Lord, in most cases. We look at what's good for us each day, but we don't realize that the goodness comes right from you and that, again, you don't force us, but you want us to be motivated to give back to you, Lord, a portion of that, to acknowledge it. So, Lord, we thank you for your provision, not only individually, but as a church. We thank you that Fruitland Baptist Church is still a vibrant concern and still an ongoing concern to serve you, Lord. And so I just pray today as people contemplate what to give or to give, Lord, that you would be the basis of, and your word of how that's directed, and that our hearts would be right before you this day. And now, Lord, too, as we go into a little bit of a morning message here about getting alone with you, and specifically through the ministry of camping, I pray, Lord, that you would touch our hearts this day, and that you would remove the desire for the things of the world, but to replace that desire with the things of you, O Lord. So speak to us tenderly today, or even forcefully, Lord, if that is a need. And we're just going to give you the praise and glory in advance, expecting a blessing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you, ladies. I believe Kay has a supplemental enhancement today to our time of worship. Thank you.
Just suppose God searched all through heaven. He couldn't find one willing to be the supreme sacrifice that was needed, that would buy eternal life for you and me. Oh, had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost. I'm so glad he was willing to take that bitter cup. Although he prayed, "Father, let it pass from me," I'm so glad he didn't call heaven's angels. "From my hands, take these nails that torment me." Oh, had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost. I would be lost.
Amen. Thank you, Kay. Folks, it's all about Jesus, isn't it? Everything revolves around him, whether people want to admit it or not. It's all about him. Amen. Well, greetings again in the name of the Lord Jesus. We're going to have to do some things a little differently here this morning. But this is a Children's Day message, so if you're young or old, if you'd like to come up and look at the tent, I suggest some young people come up. This is a Children's Day event, and I don't know really where to go this morning, but it may require some of you to make an adjustment, because otherwise you're going to be turning your head 180 degrees backward to see me. But I've got to find my Bible, and I think that's over there. Jaden, I got to slip through here, my man. Okay, thank you. Okay. Thanks, Isaac. Yeah, they sure can, but I think it's okay to look at the tent, too. No, I'll be right here, Jason. I think this is my spot. Okay? Now, for many of you, you kind of know a little bit about Kim and I, you know, our lifestyle and so forth. And we did not do a lot of camping. And what I'm talking about here is not spiritual Bible camp type of thing, but we did not do a lot of the camping thing in our history. Because, as you know, we kind of came from a rougher background out on the farming and different things. And so when we took vacations, Kim, what did we usually like to do? Yeah. We like to go somewhere where the beds were soft, the food was prepared, and we could get away from nature. Because we lived in that a lot. And so we had refreshment in some other ways that many of you, maybe that work in an office or in a factory or other situations, didn't. And you like to get out into that type of thing. But we've even, well, I'll illustrate that more later. But today we want to talk about getting alone with God. So the title of our message is A Great Place to Get Alone with God. And I'm going to illustrate that briefly this morning. And I think something just pulled off my headset here. Kim, I may need help if we get into trouble. But before we go any further, let's have a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, thank you once again for this wonderful day. Another day of your grace and mercy, beautifully placed before mankind. And Lord, today we want to take you very seriously about your love, but also your warnings and admonitions. And we know this, Lord, that you want us to come apart, not in the way some might think, as I mentioned that, but what I mean by that, Lord, and what you meant is you want us to come apart to you and to get alone with you and to search the deep things of God and our relationship to you, Lord, in our lives and in our walk. So I pray today as we consider this valuable time that can be spent with you, getting alone with you, that you'll speak to some hearts here today, Lord. Maybe even change some plans for maybe yet today or for the very least, for the days that lie ahead, should you tarry, Lord, and for this summer season, that we might put you first and that we might focus, Lord, on you through a time of solitude and serenity with you. Now, Lord, I pray you'll help me this morning as I bring this message. This is a children's message, and so we're speaking here to everyone of all ages. But, Lord, help us to go on an adventure with you this year. And I pray that you'll bless the speaking and help me, Lord, in my frailties. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, how many of you young folks that are up there today, and by the way, did you look inside the tent? How many of you have ever slept in a tent overnight? I have. And what do you think about camping in general? Do you like it or do you not? No one has an opinion on that. Well, do you cook out over a fire? Or do you go to McDonald's and come back and eat it in the tent? How many like the bugs? That's why that tent here of the Wheelers has a screened inside and a door that zips. How many of you have ever camped or stayed somewhere where there's bears? Wow. Yeah. Is it ever scary at night when you go camping? It can be. You know, we've found the last few years we have begun to do a little of that, but we don't go far to do it. I'll illustrate that later. We go down in our pasture. And it's a great place to go. Our kids love it. And our grandchildren, we have the greatest time. We're about, it'd be about a fourth or a third of a mile away from the buildings. It's a very nice place to go, just to visit, to get refocused. And that's the thoughts today as we consider camping. So how many of you would like to go camping this year? I'm talking to everyone here this morning. Yeah. Well, we have a whole season there for the taking this year. So I trust that we'll consider this mode of getaway. Well, let me get started, because if we don't get started, we won't get finished. Good morning, children of all ages, and welcome to our bi-monthly children's message that's held every other month on the last Sunday of the month. And so you may be wondering, why the tent? Well, I've already clued you in. We're talking about getting alone with God, and this is one of the ways that this can be done. Our focus today is camping, obviously, but more exactly on getting focused on the Lord, right? You know that I wouldn't come here and preach a sermon on camping. but we hear about the Lord Jesus and us getting focused. Focusing is defined in the dictionary definition of clearly concentrating on an interest or activity. Clearly focusing on an interest or an activity by concentration. And I think one thing that we can all agree on this morning is we need to get focused on the things of the Lord. And Christian camping, my friends, for all ages may enhance this in your life. You agree?
Amen.
Are we alive this morning?
Yes.
Would anyone like to go camping?
Yes.
Yeah. Now hear me out on this, folks. I am not suggesting that the traditional Bible camp is the only way to accomplish this. We're going to talk about two things here today. But it is one of the alternatives. And we have information back here this morning, and you know that there are some good Christian camps, some that are not too far away, that you may make a choice to go and participate in. And it's not too late to do that yet this year. So that's one of the alternatives. And so is the alternative like I've got here, the tent where you go by yourself or as a family, for the sole purpose of focusing on God. Maybe you've never even thought about that, about making a camping adventure on your own, roughing it out in the wilderness, focused on God with your family. Well, I better just stay to my script here this morning. But wouldn't this be a good year to explore getting alone with God? We've been through a lot of things, haven't we? Our culture, our society is crazy. It wears me out, quite frankly. It wears me out to drive. Because you got to have eyes in every side of your head. You know, the other night I came down here. What night was it? Oh, it was for our deacons meeting. Four or five sheriff cars passed me full out. And as I got down here to the Fruitland intersection, I see more coming from the south. I see the ones that passed me trying to throw stop sticks out to stop someone running from the cops. I mean, let's face it, folks. This has become, the kind of things we see today has become what? Very common. We don't know what we might encounter in our culture, right in our own families even. But anyway, the thing that I want to point out this morning is there are many examples in Scripture of God's people getting alone with Him. Sometimes, and you know, I think there's a possibility, maybe there's someone in this room or more that need to get away alone without their wife, without their children, their husband. I didn't want to say that first. And that's not you, Kim. I really enjoy our time together, and it is rare. It is rare, very rare that Kim and I are not able, or that we're able to just... Yesterday we ate lunch here after the Bible studies, and we did. I cooked her one of my little roast beef and mashed potato dinners. We shared a can of peas. It's quite good, but we enjoyed it, didn't we? Yeah. Anyway, there's many examples in Scripture that people went to get alone with God, and many seem to have a common denominator of the part of that being seeking His will for us. Now, this is young or old. Young people, we talked today in junior-senior high class about what? About an old guy named Noah. And how people didn't listen to God, did they? Except for how many people? 5 plus 3 is 8. And God gave them warning for years and years. And the people laughed at Noah. But you know what? What God said came true. And I'll leave this with you today. We wondered if there were scratch marks on the door of the ark after God shut it. You know what? There's probably a lot of people here today that made a choice, or that aren't here today that made a choice. And they said, I don't have time for God. I have other priorities. I don't want to listen. But hear His voice today as we sang of the gentle shepherd. He wants us in His sheepfold. He wants an intimate walk with us. And this is one venue that we can do where we can get alone with Him and seek His will. That's what most of it's about. Well, today, if you have your Bibles or your devices, let's go to the book of Galatians, chapter 1, verses 15 through 24. And we're going to look at a main character in the Bible. That's been my desire to bring to our young folks in junior, senior high, the main characters of the Bible. And there are many. But the one that I want to focus on this morning is the Apostle Paul. Now, help me out a little here today. Was Paul a guy that grew up as a believer, as a born-again believer in Jesus Christ? Well, he couldn't have because Christ was not yet taken to the cross. He was a guy that was brought up under religion, Judaism, but he did not have faith in God, truly. It was all an externally based thing. But tell me, how did Paul get saved? How did he come into God's sheepfold? On the road to Damascus. And you know what? He had been blind, and Jesus encountered him on the road, and he was blind, not from lack of eyesight, but from lack of what? Vision of what God wanted for him. And Jesus had to take him down and temporarily, literally blind him by his glory, by his light. But eventually what? After Paul received Christ on the road to Damascus, his blindness disappeared. And then he began to absorb what God wanted him to do. And he tried some things, but you know, he wasn't popular. Was he?
No.
Because he was a guy that killed Christians. So when he went to the local assembly, church of people there in Jerusalem, and he was known in that area, they said, whoa, we don't trust that guy. That wasn't right either. But you know, early on after Paul was saved, he went to the desert. Does anyone remember how long he was there? 3 years. Paul went on a camping trip for 3 years to hear God speak to him and show him what he wanted him to do. Let's look at the text. Paul writes this in verse 15, Galatians chapter 1. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, he was called to be saved on the road to Damascus, to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen or unbelievers, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them, which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Folks, Arabia, that would be the regions of what is known as Saudi Arabia today and the nation under Egypt. What about it? What is it? It's a desert. It's a place where people barely are able to exist. There's not a lot of hubbub there for distraction. You have plenty of time to be with the sand. And Paul went into that wilderness area. That's why I mentioned that when I came in this morning, into the wilderness to get away with God. Notice here he says in verse 18, then, meaning what took place in those 3 years? He got alone with God. He got answers from God. He was given the vision of what he should do. Then, after 3 years, I went, he says. You know what? Oftentimes, we go places and do things before we know what we're doing. You agree with that? You know, the book of Psalms says that God gives the average human 70 years of life, and if by grace, 80. Some in this room this morning have been given a lot of grace. Additional grace. All of us are under grace, by the way, folks. But you know, wouldn't it be a tragedy for us to mess around doing a bunch of stuff through life but not really knowing what God wanted us to do? I messed around in my life running businesses, farming, all these other things till I was 40 years old, till I was back about where Gene Rock was sitting here at Fruitland after a lot of things. I did a lot of stuff. And it wasn't wrong things, but it wasn't the right things. Because I had to get alone with God. And I had to know before I went that I was doing the right things. So, you know, as I look back, I messed around for at least 20 years of my life. Still serving God, not doing bad things, but not doing exactly what he wanted me to do. Now, I won't be bold enough to ask anyone here today, have you ever wondered about that in your life? Don't raise your hands. That's for you to answer. But I would surmise that there are people in this room today that could identify with that. And that's why we need to get alone with God. Paul says, I went for 3 years, and then afterwards, I went out and I began to get actively involved because I knew what God wanted. He says he went to Jerusalem to see Peter. He stayed with him for 15 days. And if you track Paul's life from there on, he never stuck around any place very long after God got a hold of him and told him how to operate. But other of the apostles, I saw none, save James, the Lord's brother, or half-brother, technically. So he didn't go and hang out with people and say, well, this will make me spiritual. I'm going to hang out with God's people. Although that isn't a wrong thing to do in this sense. But Paul nominally went how? He went in very small groups or on his own because God showed him during that time how to operate. Now the things, verse 20 says, which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. Paul says, I'm telling you, this is how it all came down. And then he goes on to say in verse 21, afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. Paul says, I went out on my own with the Lord. I didn't go to an organized group of people. He sent me individually. But I knew this, you see, from what he'd done in the desert. But those churches, he's implying here in 23, they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith which once he destroyed. And they glorified God in me. When they got it figured out about Paul, they weren't against him. But you see, Paul had to get alone with God to determine exactly what his will was for him. Maybe today, young or old, it's time to get alone with God. Now, we're going to talk about some common things here this morning. Point number one, I didn't make an outline today, but these are the advantages of an adult or youth organized camp. Yes, I said adult. Many Bible camps have camp for adults. Did you know that? Good thing. Now, I'm still a little out on this coloring books for adults and stuff. That may be coming in the next phases of my life. But I still haven't learned how to color between the lines. But Kim's saying, I doubt that'll ever happen with John. But...
John.
Adult camp. Senior camp. Old folks can still benefit from getting along with God. Now let me give you a few of these things. By the way, we're pretty well done with the Bible stuff this morning, but that's the basis of it. Also, James 4:8, where James says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. See, that all fits with this. Getting away with him. But here it is. Number one, a rest and a change from the normal routine. What are vacations? You know, I've come home from many vacations more physically tired than I was before I went. You agree with me on that? And let me just say, to this day, I've never gone on a vacation where I didn't come home to trouble. More trouble than when I left. It was that way with the barrel plant. It was that way with the farming, the businesses. It's even been that way with the church many times. That's how it is with life. So what is a vacation? A vacation is a change of scenery that causes our mind to get refreshed. You could go to a traffic jam in New York City, but it's refreshing because you're away from the routine of home. See, it's a change. It's something that is different from the normal routine, and rest can be combined with that. If you operate on a schedule, rest is a very beneficial thing. Now, I can't park any of these points because we've got to go eat here in a minute. Another advantage of that is of an organized youth or adult camp is recreation. Right? If you've ever gone to camp, what are some of the things that you can do there? Yes, I'm going to get to the Bible and the Lord. Hiking, swimming, horseback riding, sports, boating, fishing, games, and the list can go on and on and on. Things that you normally don't do every day that can be refreshing. It helps us to get our mind and our souls in focus with the Lord, let alone being out in God's creation. You know, there's a lot of people that grow up in big cities, they don't even know what it is to come out and sit under a tree, or to see a fish flap in the water when you catch it, or take a boat ride. We're blessed where we live here, really. Also, as I mentioned earlier, it's a great time for family time. There's also family camps where you can go with your family and you can get together with your family. I encourage us to rediscover our family. I know I was being a little hokey, but I'm dead serious about what we enjoy something like that yesterday. We even had a can of peas. Did I mention that? Split it. Yep. 50 cents a can, by the way. Sometime talk to me about meals, nutritious meals for under $2. I can help you. But our families, folks, how many of us really know each other? Husbands and wives, children and parents, do we really know each other? You'll see each other in a different environment when we're away from the routine. Well, yes, Bible lessons, study, reading, and at a Bible camp or a Bible-oriented camp, preaching. There's going to be someone there that's going to preach that was there with the intent to bring refreshing information from the Word of God and a challenge to your life. By the way, if you go to camp, pray for that person that's speaking, that they'll feed you richly from the Word of God. It's a central part, an important part of camping. Usually you'll have a couple of messages a day at least in that type of an environment. Also, there's great time for fellowship at camp. You have a campfire time, you have fellowship times. Sometimes if you don't tent or you go to an organized camp, you'll be in a cabin or a dormitory. And guess what? You're going to be around different people. You're going to get to meet people. You may make friendships. You may have opportunities to help them or they help you in your spiritual walk by the people you meet. And it may be a lifelong adventure. And then, yes, I did mention food, and I do like food. In moderation. And, you know, usually camp food is maybe not, five star. But usually it's not terrible either, is it? Right? But the best part of it is what, Kim? She told you. You go and eat, and you don't have to clean up dishes. There's no preparation. And it gives you a change of pace. Okay? But also, the spiritual aspect of this again, it's a time for spiritual renewal. And how do we get renewal spiritually? Through the Word of God. You see, we need to have our minds renewed daily from the truth source, the renewal source, which is God. And that's a great part of that. But along with that, did I mention this? I didn't earlier. At camp or in a camping environment, there are many decisions made that are life-changing. Some people have been saved when they've been away at church camp. Others have made major decisions regarding their walk with the Lord and what they were to do in that type of an environment, and much, much more. Commitments. And just like the Apostle Paul when he went out in the desert, get away from all the ruckus and listen for God's voice. He'll tell you what he wants you to do. If you'll get withdrawn and get away with him. And then as I started this message, the organized Bible camp type environment is a place. I'm not going to always say it's a good place because you still have to go there for the right reasons. If it's just to have a good time and have all the trinkets. But you know what? Sometimes people accidentally have an encounter with God. So it's not bad to go there, but it's better to go there with a purpose. But again, it's to focus on God and life issues, and we could go on and on and on. Enough said about that opportunity. Interestingly enough, too, here at Fruitland, if you're a young person, there are some helps here. In fact, it's too late now, but if you would prepare and want to go to camp, you could have your way paid by the church, totally. But there's still some venues. You can talk to me, and there's some information. Deb Wheeler has some of the things. You can go right out here to Spring Valley, just a little ways from town. It's not very costly, not far from home. But there's other alternatives as well. Now, the second part of the message. The advantages of personal spiritual camping. Now, we're not talking about the institutional thing here now, like a Bible camp. I'm talking about personal stuff. where you take a tent or something like that. Of course, today most people have motorhomes, RVs. I don't know if that's real camping. You know, I saw here a while back that some of the fancy RVs are more expensive than a new home today. $300,000 to $400,000. If anyone has one of those today, I'd like to talk to you. Would you let me use it for a week? Come on, people, get real. Is that really even camping? Well, it can be. But again, I think there's something missing there. Because it's not about the things of the world, it's about the things of God. Here it is, the advantages of this personal camping. A rediscovery of family and the Lord in an easygoing setting. See, the problem when you go to Bible camp, it's structured. Right? Time. You got to be up at a certain time. Flag raising, devotions, breakfast, chapel. It's all structured. When you go on your own, you set your own structure. If you don't want to get up till noon, and then you organize the things that you want to do, you can do that. Because let me tell you, you can be laying in your sleeping bag, praying, reading your Bible, and letting God feed you, right? Okay. It's an easygoing setting where you can do it at your own pace. You don't have to have commercialism. You can just look to see what the day offers. Take a hike. Take some time just to see what's around you and explore it rather than looking for all this stuff. This external stuff. As I mentioned earlier, in an institutional setting, this is the same here, but you get to know your family in a different light. When we've been camping in the pasture with our children, grandchildren, and spouses and so forth, we see a different thing there, don't we, Kim? That we normally wouldn't see. Some of the different things about our children's personalities that we never knew, our grandchildren. Neat things come from that. I could give you many illustrations. One of the most popular things in our own personal camping is down in the creek. Our grandchildren love the creek. For some of you that are more technical, it's creek. Yes, I didn't say they had to have an expensive toy to play with. They went to the creek and explored. Grandson Eli from Chicago found an axe head in the creek. I don't know how it got there, where it ever came from, but it made the whole time we were camping special because he found that. And there's all kinds of little things like that. Didn't cost a dime. But it was a new experience with our children and grandchildren and with the Lord. Get to know your family in a different light. Will there be stress? There could be. I'm sure with Kim, if we were down there and the flies were terrible, Kim does not work well with flies. She might say, I'm going back to the house. But she might also just say, you know what? This isn't too bad. I like being down here with you guys. And she'd stick it out. Well, again, the personal study focus. You can predetermine your own camping trip. You can say, you know what? I want to investigate the book of John more deeply for a week. I'm going to go out. You could pick your own topic. It doesn't have to necessarily be a book of the Bible, but a topic of spiritual need in your life or desire to do. You can do that on your own. You can do it predetermined. But it's also a great time for personal prayer time and just getting away with God. Also, another good thing about that type of camping is it's not costly. Like for us, there's no charge at the pasture. Unless we don't pay our property taxes. But isn't it kind of nice? See, that's why I don't carry a wallet a lot of times. Isn't it nice not to have to pull the wallet out for everything you do? Kids, give your parents a break this year. Don't ask for anything. Don't spend money on this. Spend time with Jesus. It's not costly, and it doesn't have to involve a lot of travel or preparation. Travel's a problem, isn't it?
Can be.
Keep it simple. And even then, in that personal setting, it can revolve around a theme. Oh, the other thing, when our family, our little kids, they love to search up wood for the fire. Don't they, Kim? And chopping with an axe. I'm scared of that a little bit. Learning some bad tricks from Uncle Greg on the fires. Anyway, but it can revolve around a theme. You can make up your own theme for each year. It can be fishing. It could be like even in the pasture, hiking trails. Have you ever followed a cow path? Yep. Something that simple. And think, why did God make the cows to know where to go? And what made them choose this? Just simple things that you can really see God's creation at work in a real up-close way. Taking all the time you want. You can go exploring, and the list goes on and on and on. That's the advantages of a personal, spiritual camping trip and more. Now the conclusion, because I smell food.
Me too.
Kids, moms, dads, families, grandparents. I think that's got everyone pretty well covered this morning. Why not make getting alone with God a priority this year? It's not too late. Talked in Sunday school this morning for those folks there that listened to Noah for 120 years and thought he was a kook because they'd never experienced rain or the need for a boat. But what happened when God shut the door and the rain began to fall? It's too late. You know, some of us may not be around for another camping season. I don't mean that in a bad way, but you don't know. Let me tell you too today, if you're here unsaved or if you're here backslidden in your walk with Christ, it's not too late yet. And this is a good year to explore the Lord Jesus Christ. As I mentioned earlier, it's not too late for our youth here to work towards at least some help to go to camp if funds are tight. But if you put it off, if you go about another month, camping season is going to be here and gone. As I mentioned, there's several alternatives that we can do for adults and for children. And don't forget retreats. And I can recommend a good one to you here that's close to home in September. Men's retreat here at Fruitland. Well, in conclusion today, what might God do this year through a get alone with God experience? He might do more than you think if you give him a chance. Right? He's inviting you to spend some time with him and get focused. The question is what? You tell me. Will we? Thank you, whoever said that. Will we do it? Today's a good day to start. To consider what might be different. And allow getting alone with God to change our lives. I'm done. Amen. Let's stand. And if I can find a hymnal, or I'll just turn around. It's up on the screen. Oh, it's not? That's why we need a camping trip. Tell me the stories of Jesus, 7:19, and to someone, there's a book back here, but I think I remember it anyway. That's what camp's about, to learn about the Lord. 7:19. Maybe today someone says, you know what? It's convinced me this morning, Pastor John, I need to take action right now. I need to even maybe repent today before God that I've put everything else ahead of getting alone with him. The job. Living in the world today, keeping up with the Joneses. All kinds of things that intervene that block God out over our interests. Well, the church is pretty full in the front today, but where you're at today is a great place to meet with Jesus right today and get it straightened out. and then come on over and have some lunch. I'm here to help today to give you some encouragement from the Word. If anyone has a question about that, we invite you to stay either through this door or on the level through those for lunch, and then stay for our Bible baseball this afternoon. But get it right today with God. Get alone with Him today. However you do it, but camping is one of those great alternatives. 7:19. Tell me the stories of Jesus. I love to hear things I would ask Him to tell me if He were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea, stories of Jesus, tell them to me. And He will, He will. Jason, I think you're behind me, so I'm going to ask you to close in prayer.
All right, Lord God, our Father, we thank You, Lord, again that You brought us here today. God, we just ask that You help each and every one of us, Lord, in our personal lives, and draw closer to You, set aside that time, whether we go camping or whether it be home, waking up in the morning, setting aside time for You, Lord God, that we might draw closer to You. Just reach into our hearts and lives and the places that we are, O Lord God. God, help us in our daily lives to honor You, glorify You, to reach out, Lord, to people that are lost in this world. Take care of us, Lord, in the places that we find ourselves, and bring us back safely as a family together. In Jesus' name.
Amen.